This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, always keep us mindful that the things we try to clutch and keep in our hands, we always lose. But everything that we place into your hands, we will keep forever. Amen. Good morning. Those words are a paraphrase of a famous prayer that Martin Luther himself coined. And it certainly is in touch with the theme of what our gospel is today, of giving to God what belongs to God. Is it hot in here? If you weren't at the party last Saturday, you missed getting one of these. I understand they make great dart boards. True confessions. I happen to be a fan. I happen to be a fanatical St. Louis Cardinals baseball fan. It's okay if you're not. But bear with me, because this little story I tell you, for me, has very much helped me to understand this gospel. So, I'm out in California working on my doctor of ministry stuff, and all of this baseball things happens, and the Cardinals make the playoffs. Incredible, if you follow baseball at all, one of the most miraculous comebacks ever. And sorry if you're a Braves fan, but that's the way it goes. But I'm out there, and it comes down to a final fifth game. And they're announcing this now as a classic against the Phillies, because two great pitchers who have won the award, the Cy Young Award in the past for the best pitcher in baseball, Carpenter against Holiday. It's going to happen. It's going to be a classic game. And I look at my flight schedule and realize my plane is taking off before the game starts, and my plane is a red eye and will arrive in Miami the next morning after the game is over. I am crestfallen. But I am a little crazy. And so when I checked in for the flight, I just said to the agent, you know, just check to see what it would take to route me through Philadelphia. After all, I'm going to be up all night anyway. Why not be up all night and maybe get a chance to see the game? And, you know, they do this, and on and on and on it goes, and finally say, no problem, we can do this. Do it. So here I go Friday night to Philadelphia. Never been to Philadelphia. And I get there and I go to the stadium and it's about 4 o'clock and there's people everywhere, all in their Phillies gear. And I start trying to see, you know, there's all these scalpers selling tickets and one guy wants $1,000, another guy wants $1,500, but they're all trying to sell two or more tickets. Well, I finally find this one guy who's selling one ticket because he couldn't find anybody who was there by themselves. I was by myself. He sells me the ticket for the face value of the ticket. Here I am, fifth game, Holiday versus Carpenter, right behind the Cardinals dugout. Wow. Now, the only thing that is more incredible for me than being there is this. I can't cheer for the Cardinals. If you have ever heard of Philadelphia sports fans, they have quite a reputation. There was one lady who was sitting over here, and she was in her cardinal red and cheering to the top of her lungs. First inning, she got beer poured on her. The second inning, they started pushing her. I think it was the third or fourth inning, she got hit, and she had to have police protection the rest of the game. Now, when I come into the aisle, there is this guy who has to stand up to let me pass. He looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger. And he folds his hands. He says, "You're not a Cardinal fan, are you?" And I said, "Well, I'm a baseball fan." Now, this game goes on, and even if you're not a baseball fan, that was one of the most incredibly tense games I have ever experienced. The Cardinals won the game 1-0. They win the game. All the Cardinal team comes running out onto the field, and there I am. I can't cheer. I'm dying. I run out to the parking lot because I can't wait to get in the car and get back locked in the car on the highway and call up my family and just start shouting to the top of my lungs with my brother, "We won! We won! We won!" Amazing. Now, sports is a silly thing, I know, but the gospel today talks about our allegiance. And the gospel talks today about what are the ways in which maybe we would be willing to sacrifice the allegiance we have to our faith. Now, granted, there was some threat of physical violence that certainly kept me from declaring my loyalty to my team. We don't really face that here in this country with our faith. There are places in the world, unfortunately, like Iran, that you might have seen in the news, that somebody wouldn't say they didn't believe in Jesus and now they're supposedly on death row. The early church faced that, but we truly don't really face any threat to our physical well-being. But there are times, I think, when we sort of decide to throw that out the window. The important thing with this gospel is the beginning of it, even before they pop the question to Jesus. These are Jesus' worst enemies. Yet they realize, "Teacher, we know that you're sincere. We know that you teach the way of God in accordance with truth. We know that you show deference to no one. We know that you do not regard people with partiality." Now, even his worst enemies knew that. And so they think they are going to trap him with this question. It's sort of like, you know, that old joke about, "Do you still beat your wife?" I mean, there's no way Jesus can win here by answering the question. There was a tax that was imposed on the people of Judea when they became a Roman province. The Herodians, part of this group, favored the tax. The others did not. So by throwing this question out, they think they're going to trap Jesus. Well, either he's going to say, "Pay the tax," and then he is sort of implicitly saying that Caesar is God. You know, on those coins, it had a statement. And on the coin, the denarius, it says, "Tiberius Caesar, son of the divine Augustus, Pontifex Maximus." So if Jesus was going to agree to that, well, then he's saying that Caesar's God. If he says it's not okay to pay the tax, half the rest of the crowd is going to get upset with him. And of course, he's risking getting in trouble with the Roman government. So they think they have him. They think they really have him. But here is Jesus. He is not going to sacrifice. He's not going to sell out. He is going to stay true to who he is. And this incredibly clever response: give to Caesar what is Caesar's and give to God what is God's. Now, he doesn't really spell that out. He sort of leaves it up to them and leaves it up to us to figure out, well then, what belongs to God? What truly belongs to God? In our house, we come home at night. Sometimes we'll have some time to turn on the TV. Sometimes after dinner, we go up to bed and we are going to watch a little TV. And the ultimate confrontation and difficulty is the answer to the question, who controls the remote? And I know if Dee has the remote and the House and Garden channel goes on, I'm out in 2 seconds flat. She knows that if I have it and the baseball game or something else comes on, she's out in 2 seconds flat. Well, the question is, who controls your remote? Jesus in his life makes it clear that the only person that controls his remote is his Father. He's going to be true to that. He's going to be who he's supposed to be, always, without exception. How does that happen in our own lives? Remember a couple weeks ago, I used the illustration of a pie chart. And it was in terms of God's grace, and we usually want to look at that like a pie chart, because if you're getting a bigger piece of pie in God's grace, it means I'm going to get a smaller piece. But God's grace doesn't work that way. It's infinite, and it just gets bigger and bigger. There's always enough. Well, today, think of that pie chart a little differently. That pie chart representing our life, 24 hours, 7 days a week. A lot of times what I think we want to do is to say, okay, in terms of my life, well, here's a little sliver God's going to get, 9:30 to 10:45 on Sunday. And then if you're working 40 plus hours, that then if I'm a golfer, the time I'm golfing and whatever else. The challenge Jesus is giving us here is it's not about keeping God in that little sliver. It's about how do we give to God that which is God's and imbue God into that entire pie chart of our lives. So who handles your remote when you're at work? When you're out with the girls or out with the guys? When you're by yourself and you think nobody else is watching? It becomes the call for us to try to be imitators of Jesus and show no partiality, to let God be the guiding force in all things at all times. There are times when you're out in traffic, okay? You got a decision to make. There are times at work where sometimes there are immoral things being said or done, whether it's around the coffee pot or the water cooler, or just simple gossip going on, or actual immoral decisions being made about business practices. Where am I going to stand in that? What am I going to do? There are times we are out partying and people want to make decisions that they're not exactly the way Jesus would have us be. What am I going to do? How do I let God be a part of all of that? That's what this is calling us to. The first reading we heard today, Moses is talking with God. If your presence is not with us, why would you send us out here? And this incredible image of God letting Moses know that he's there, but you're not going to see my face. Well, maybe one of the ways in this day and age that God's face is going to be seen or that the presence of God is going to be perceived is through us. That we can be the ones that in some way we won't see God's face, but in some way maybe we or that person is going to sense that God was there. I'm at the airport. At the baggage carousel. I'm just gone for a couple days. I don't have much. And I see this guy next to me. He's going to a trade show or something. He's got all these boxes and stuff. And he's pulling out these bungee cords and everything else and trying to tie it all together. And he just can't figure out how he singularly is going to get this out to the taxi stand. And I'm looking about 20 feet there. And there's one of those luggage carts you have to rent for $4 just sitting there. And I just go grab it and say, here, this might help. Well, you would have thought that I just gave that guy the winning lottery ticket. It took me 10 seconds. And as he walked away, he said, it is nice to know there is still kindness in this world. I just saw that God was there. I think he did too. How many opportunities do we have to be that? If we just let God imbue every part of that pie of our lives, there's no physical threat to us living our faith. And if we do, wow, we'll be able to give to God what is God's. May it be so for us. Amen.